Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Yo, what up? What's happening? TK and Tierney ready to go on this Wednesday around the country. Hope all is well. CBS Sports Radio, company from our Rocket Mortgage studio. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. So we got a lot of NBA out of the shoot today. John McClain's going to stop by. What are the sage connected voices in Houston as to what? It's been out there a long time, writing for the Chronicle, other venues, other outlets, I should say. What will the Texans do with Deshaun Watson? You know what we've said they will do and should do. That's, first of all, you pick up the phone. They're going to have to trade the guy, obviously. But McClain wrote a piece this past weekend basically imploring that to do just that. So he'll join us. Teak, what's happening, buddy? How are you today?
All's good, man. I just read an article, or at least saw an article. I started to skim it. And we talked about this regarding the NFL coaching hires and how it's so unfair for some of these coaches, and mostly it was Eric Bieniemy we're referring to. Mm-hmm. It's unfair for them because they're on teams that get deep into the postseason and ultimately with the Chiefs to the Super Bowl. The NFL, and it's about time, are exploring an option. I think they're going to vote on it at some point, whether or not to delay new coaching hires until after the Super Bowl for that very reason. So that's encouraging.
That is good. I saw that too.
Yep, for some of these coaches who just kind of get left out of the process because they got to worry about winning games.
That seems like a pretty fair middle ground for everybody.
Yep.
I saw that right before we came on the air. I kind of skimmed it like you did as well. Well, let's weave that in at some point. I know it's not on the rundown, but that's certainly worth exploring a little bit more deeply.
Agreed.
All right, so, you know, you and I grew up very differently, different parts of the country. What we played, what we did, we were, you know, just different, even though we were pretty much the same age. The thing that drove me was, at least, you know, in terms of the fashion aspect, I'm not saying it was my main, you know, impetus in life. Although for one point, it was pretty close. You know, the sneaker collection was a big thing in my world, right?
You are a sneakerhead.
Yeah, I got some sweet ones on today. I got some black and white. I got nice Jordans on today.
Nice.
And when we were growing up, but specific to me, you know, the thing that sold sneakers was flair, right? Which is why Jordan was so, I mean, in addition, they looked great. They came at the right time. They came in all different colors. But even the non-Jordans, like, remember the Nike Dunks?
Oh, yeah, I do.
They were a lot like the Jordans. The St. John's were the red and white ones. Georgetown had the blue and gray. I mean, they were pretty sweet, too. And they just always caught my eye, and I always had a lot of different pair of sneakers. What does all this mean? Well, going back to, I guess, Clyde Frazier was really the first one to push sneakers. That was the Puma, the low-cut Pumas back in the day. There's been really no big man that has really pushed a lot of sneaker product where they were just, you know, flying off. Kareem didn't have that influence. Shaq had a little.
Yeah, a little bit, but he wasn't focused on it. You know what I mean? It wasn't like it was his thing. He was more into, you know, rapping and making movies.
He was also into making money, though.
Oh, of course.
I think it was Reebok. On his tongue, they had that, the silhouette of him when he was grabbing the rim and his both legs were, you could see the silhouette of the vintage Shaq dunk. Mm-hmm. But all the other guys, like, you know, David Robinson didn't really sell sneakers. Ewing sold some sneakers in New York, which I have now, the orange and blue Adidas, but, you know, not nationally really. Hakeem Olajuwon had, I believe it was either Brooks or Etonics, like a very off, I think it was Etonic. Etonics, yeah.
Wow.
Crazy. A very off-the-radar brand of sneakers. And, you know, it's really been, Penny had sweet sneakers with the whole Tyra Banks thing and Chris Rock. Obviously, Jordan. Even Spud Webb back in the day had the Jordan knockoffs, the City Wings, they were called, mostly guard-driven. Although the only thing that challenges that would be the Converse weapons when you had Bird, Magic, McHale, Mark Aguirre, Bernard King, and I'm missing one more. This all means
that was a little bit pre like sport influencer age though at that point. You know,
oh, absolutely, you no question about it.
They were hardly on television on a daily basis.
No, there was like Converse posters, and
yes, that's right.
And they had the Converse commercial where, like in sequence, they're all on. I mean, it's on YouTube. It's hysterical. They're all on the screen for a second, and. You know, it's like Kevin McHale trying to rap. He's like, yo, my name is Kevin, and I like to ball. I mean, it's horrendous. And Isaiah Thomas comes in. He's like, yeah, but you're 7 feet tall, whatever. Like, and they each have a line or so. And then it ends with, you know, Larry Bird, you know, I walked away with the MVP. Right? That's how it ends, right? It's funny. It's corny. But I say all this because the guy that's never going to sell sneakers, the guy who is never demonstrative verbally, you're never going to see his highlights on loop. That was a long, winding way to get to the guy who might just be the best player in the NBA. And that is that is the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
That is Nikola Jokic, who had another triple-double last night, his 50th. He just turned 26. Will Chamberlain, the only other center who played primarily center, to have at least 50 triple-doubles. I know the game has changed. But Teague, the Joker, what this guy does every night.
Yeah.
It is incredible.
It's incredible.
It's incredible.
It's impressive. It feels unique because we don't see a big man dishing like he dishes. It's not just, you know, I'm going to stand on the post and, you know, throw an overhead pass to the corner because someone's wide open. I mean, he's like backdoor dribbles. I mean, he's bounce pass into cutters, you know, from the elbow over there. I mean, his distribution from wherever he is on the court it's unbelievable. And obviously on top of that, he's a big man, so he can score, he can shoot the three. Like it's rare that we see a big man be the most important person on a team because it hasn't been that way forever, mm-hmm. right? I mean, Joel Embiid is also in this conversation,
yep.
And I think this goes back to this MVP talk that we've been having multiple times over the last couple of weeks, BT. And while we've been focused on the LeBron Jameses of the world, or even Embiid, who's having a great season,
yes,
the guy who has been sitting at the top, and I go to this MVP tracker on Basketball Reference every time I want to, you know, see where the progress is throughout the season, the guy who's been sitting on top for all the entire year, and it's algorithmically based, so it's not really the eye test, but he's passing that as well,
yep.
is the Joker. Jokic is just, he's unbelievable. His PER, his points, his rebounds, his assists, his steals even. I think he's 1.2 or 1.3 or so steals a game. He's dominant all over the stats. The problem with the Joker is he's a big man, one, as you were just going through,
yep.
and two, he plays on the Denver Nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a team that we know, but we kind of only know because of him, right? We're not seeing them in prime time. We're not seeing them, you know, on a nightly basis and hearing about his exploits in real time. We see it on highlights and we get enamored by it, but to watch an actual game like I did last night with him,
yeah, against the Bucks,
it was unbelievable.
Oh, they dismantled.
That was a marquee game, and he dismantled every and any comer, including the reigning defensive player of the year.
Listen, by the way, the game was over. That is the way a team that's ready to start playing some serious basketball just mm-hmm. systematically undresses from the opening tip. I think they outscored by 14.
Yep.
I think they were plus 14 in the first quarter. Bucks never threatened. Bucks have been playing great. They had that national win that we talked about on Monday. It was on ABC against the Clippers. We talked about that great block at the rim by Giannis. They're playing very well. Middleton's obviously there. Lopez doing his thing. I mean, they're a team that I don't like as much as some, although I don't know that they're generally positioned as a team that's – I think last year they had a lot more national juice, yeah. is what I'm getting at. See, the thing about Jokic and the Denver market, though, growing up – and I remember – boy, I guess I'm in a nostalgic mood today. I remember I had a poster in my room, right? And it was called – it was so sweet, dude. I've got to find this. I have to find this on eBay. I have to. And if I do, I'm framing it and I'm putting it in the man cave. It was 9 players – I don't know if I'd remember all 9, but and it was called Superstars of the NBA. I probably would remember all 9, actually, but it's Superstars of the NBA. And it was you know, split into, you know, ninths, right? So each little square, like the Brady Bunch, mm-hmm. had a player, right?
Yeah.
And I remember that Alex English was on that poster as a Nugget. That's why I bring that up. And, you know, Kareem was there, Magic. You had Mark Aguirre, Bernard King, Dominique Wilkins, Bird, If I wrote it down, I could certainly do it. But he was one of the 9, right? And I think James Worthy, I think they had a couple Lakers, maybe even three. Worthy may have been on that poster. I don't know that it's specific to the Denver market, because even Carmelo, when Carmelo was there, even though Carmelo only got to the Western Conference Finals once, Carmelo was, you know, pushing product and you know, not quite generating clicks because it was kind of early in the social media's, you know, that wave. But you got a lot of Denver games on prime time. I don't think it's the Denver market. Here's what I think it is. I've said many times, when you go back to the great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who, as I've said, very well, forget about Jordan or LeBron, he could be the greatest player of all time. Six MVPs and six championships, not to mention the most dominant college player of all time, where they changed the rule. All right, but to advance it, Kareem was a player, and I say this with respect, he just looked a little corny with the goggles, with the socks pulled up, with the LA Gear sneakers. Like, you wouldn't be caught dead, especially like in New York City or Philly or Baltimore or Chicago. Like, going into the schoolyard and saying, Kareem, and like emulating the hook shot, your boys would be like, what? You know, you would do, you know, double reverse Dominique and Jordan. And I see a lot of Joker. I'm not saying they play the same exact type of game. I'm not saying that at all. But I don't know that there's any urgency to emulate, which maybe you should emulate him, because that's probably athletically things more people can do than jumping over people.
Yeah.
Like, but nobody goes to the schoolyard and works fundamentally on their pivot foot with two pump fakes like the Joker and then frees himself up for a little baby left hand in traffic, because that's boring.
Yeah.
You want to flush it down on a small rim, or you want to give the behind the back. I get it. I was young once. I understand. So nobody's emulating Joker. Nobody's got sneakers that say the Joker on them. He doesn't have a muscle on his body. He doesn't have just some cool hairstyle, or he's not like tatted up where he jumps off the screen. He's a little doughy, even though he lost some weight. He's not doughy.
Yeah.
He used to be. He's just
not I know what you mean.
He's just not defined muscularly.
Exactly. You know. He doesn't look like he's chiseled out of stone.
So no. At one point, he was doughy. Now he's just kind of thin without obvious palpable muscle tone. But the guy, every night, he is a lot like Tim Duncan. It's not as painful as when Shaq would throw down 35 on you, because he would physically destroy you. But Tim Duncan would 15 foot off the window, you to death, little pump fake, fall away, you to death. And then, Tim Duncan had 37 points and 13 rebounds and 7 assists, and you lost by 15 points.
Yeah, but Jokic
is not painless.
But Jokic is not that, though. Like, he's entertaining when you watch him, because it's so
depends on how you determine entertaining.
So last night, for example, there was at least three moments where he sees a long rebound coming. I mean, for whatever reason, and because I guess it's everybody he's guarding is everybody's a stretch, right? Uh-huh. He's out on the perimeter. So he sees that the shot's long or whatever it's going to be. So it's going to be a long rebound.
Talking about as an offensive guy or
He's on defense right now. He's defending someone, right? And so he's on the defensive side of the court. He's out on the perimeter somewhere because all these bigs think they're
guarding
stretches
his guy.
Now.
Gotcha.
Guarding his guy.
Yeah.
He sees a shot go up and it's in. He can see it's long, right? So it's going to hit the back iron, and it's going to get a long rebound.
A nice carom.
Exactly. He is flying down the court. Not to get the rebound. He's flying to get the fast break, right? And so
he always finishes.
So there was one, I think it was Jamal Murray who barely got to it. He just punched it. He didn't really pass it. He just punched it forward and to the Joker. He catches it and then flushes it down. So he's running, right? He what you were saying is right. He doesn't look like he's this elite athlete, but he is this elite athlete. And when you see him, as his distribution skills and his ability to find the cutter and like all these different things, like that's a cool game. The problem is that who the hell is 7'1"? You know what I mean? So it's hard to emulate a guy like that and do what he does because he's so unique. Embiid is like this a little bit, but Embiid's a little bit more plotting.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like he has heavy feet. Joker can get out and run. He just doesn't do it a lot, but when he does, it's impressive. And by the way, he can knock him down from around the perimeter as well, as we talked about.
Joker, no, this is not to marginalize his skill set. I would still challenge the notion that young players are racing into the gym emulating Joker running down. Yes, I know that he's running relatively decent speed for a big guy.
Yeah.
Finishing off a layup. And if it is a dunk, it's not a highlight variety dunk. Kids step in the gym now And the first thing they do is they launch a 30-foot three-pointer, and they probably say, Curry, as they let it fly. They're not nobody. Maybe some kids in Denver. Mm-hmm. Nobody around and his
kids
hometown.
Kids in Europe.
Maybe. I was going to say, in his, yeah. his hometown. Nobody, in especially in the inner cities, where the style is what captures so many. Like, that's what, I mean, I'm not, trust me, I couldn't do it. But what drew me to basketball, yeah, I mean, yeah, sure. St. John's was winning and the Knicks had Bernard King. But, like, just, like, the pace of the game and, you know, the up and unders and the double clutches and the and ones and the finger rolls and, like, the athleticism of the game. That's what I loved. And I know I'm not alone. Now, it's also transformed now to the range of the game, mm-hmm. seriously, clearly. But it is amazing that, you know, and it's not just because he had a great game last night and he beat a red-hot team, Bucks, who were phenomenal, you know, in terms of Giannis, and they have been on a nice run. I don't know if there's a more undervalued superstar in all the sports. Who is it?
Yeah, you're probably right, but that's not going to last for long.
I disagree. I think that he'll always get the reference, like,
Wins the MVP, and he's going to, and Denver makes some noise, and I don't think they're winning.
It doesn't matter. See, Tim Duncan never got that national pop.
But wasn't Tim Duncan
excitement?
So, like, I mean, he was so boring.
So was Joker.
I think he's got a little bit more. I don't know. I haven't seen
a little
him
more
enough.
Flair? As a passer, he's got more flair, for
I haven't
sure.
seen it enough. But I'm talking about off the court. I'm talking about, like, who he is, like the guy who he is.
No one knows who he is. I haven't heard him say a word off
that's,
the court.
That's
Nobody
right.
has.
So maybe that's
the
just,
point.
Maybe that's because he's in Denver and we're on the East Coast and we just don't pay enough attention to it. I don't know.
I don't know either, but
I need to explore this. And if he gets closer to and ultimately wins an MVP, mm-hmm. we certainly will pay more attention to him.
Well, let's pay attention to this coming up, because I do think it's a really interesting debate. You look at the trends of the NBA and the propensity to shoot the ball from deep range, the necessity. If you can't shoot, you're not making it. I mean, that's, think about all the young kids who were drafted. They're all 19 mm-hmm. and they've all got at least theoretical upside in terms of shooting a rock from distance. That's the trend of the NBA. But look at the two, and I understand it, but look at the two players right now, 1-2, depending upon your order, but if you're fair, 1-2 in the NBA, you know, MVP race. Both guys are unconventional bigs who play well 22, 24 feet away from the rim. Is that a direction that the NBA can morph back into? I don't want to say where we go back to the bigs, but where the bigs become more valuable, a modernized big. Let's get to that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. What's happening? Inbounds, Out of Bounds coming up next. And the Dolphins trimming some funds to salvage the cap. They saved about $10 million with a move, but big surprise who they sent packing. So that's on the Inbounds, Out of Bounds menu. John McClain joins us coming up hour number two. He is one of the national writer for the Houston Chronicle. And obviously the Sean Watson is the story down there in Houston, so we'll get to that. So let's get back to how do I frame it? Partially the transformation of the big, but the reintroduction of the big. Now, when Nikola Jokic gets his 50th career triple-double, which is what he had last night, Wilt has, I think, 78 or so. Just, and I was slacking this to you guys earlier, just you want to connect the dots from some other great bigs of the past, or somewhat recent past. I don't mean in the 50s. Hakeem had 14. David Robinson had 14. Shaq only had 2. And Ewing had 1. And Kareem had 21. So just so you can get a numerical point of reference there. Clearly the game has changed a lot. But you know what I find interesting here, Teak? When you look at the top three teams in the Eastern Conference.
Yep.
Now, I know that their skill sets are different. Specifically, just height, though. Philadelphia's best player, 7'2".
Mm-hmm.
The Brooklyn Nets, and some might debate this, but I mean, I still think it's Kevin Durant. Really don't care. I mean, to me, it's Durant.
No, it's definitely Durant.
Okay. He's 6'11".
Yep.
And Giannis, while he's had some adventures at the three-point line, at the free-throw line in the fourth quarter over the years in games that matter, he's the reigning back-to-back MVP. He, too, is 6'11". So while it's a different 6'11 from guys who were 6'11 in the 80s and the 90s, the idea, this notion that height is an antiquated asset is absolutely erroneous.
No, I think you're right, but I think it's also I think it's more the position. Now, they've done away, kind of, in a sense, with the position of center. And I think that's more of what we're talking about. Joel Embiid and Jokic are more traditional like centers, at least in their body type and their build and their skill sets, most importantly, even though everybody can shoot three-pointers at this point, as both of those guys are capable of doing, and you know, stretching the game, the offensive game, is part of their repertoire. But I think when I look at a Kevin Durant, I don't think of him as a center. I don't think of him as a big. Obviously, he is huge. He's 6'11", mm-hmm. and in fact, when he was with the Warriors, there was a lot of minutes that he played at center, like That's traditional right. center.
Yep.
I mean, it was mostly for the defensive side. He was a rebounder. I think he led the team. He did lead the
he
team
did.
In rebound. And you know, was a defensive presence for that Warrior squad. So yeah, he can play that, but I don't look at him like that. I look at him as more of a four, and he's such a good ball handler. He could probably even be different than that. And so I think because humans have just gotten bigger, and especially these humans like KD who were smaller when they were young and they learn how to handle, mm-hmm. and then they get bigger and it sticks with them. Like it's just a different type of classification, even though their height would say, oh yeah, you're big. Like if they were in Little League or whatever, I forget what it's called in Little League basketball.
What did we call it? I mean, well, CYO, where I'm from. But
yeah,
I
but
I
like those youth
around.
Leagues. If he's in a youth league, because he's that big, he's like, all right, you're playing center. You know what I mean? And he never learns that skill. Mm-hmm. But in today's basketball world, you kind of got to do everything. And if you're athletic and big, you can change the game, which is what we're seeing with a lot of these guys like KD.
Yeah, what's happened a lot here is, when you were playing back in the day, if you were a big burly type, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a three at the five spot, there's just no questions asked, just man the middle, you got a bunch of fouls, use them, box out, get some rebounds, and get out of everybody's way. And then the introduction of the three-point line, which in high school in New York, and I believe national, I would think it would be national, in 87, all right, was still, who's stepping out shooting threes in high school in the late 80s? Not many people had the green light, okay? Even for the most advanced, open-minded head coach who was 10 years in front of everybody else at that point, the structure of the game in the late 80s was such that you still didn't just wheel and deal from behind the arc. But what happens now, I don't care how old you are, everybody's shooting threes, all right, just to keep kids, at a young age, to keep kids engaged. They want to replicate and emulate their guys and their heroes on TV. And then what happens, and we know players in the NBA where this has happened to, they have a growth spurt. And so what happens is, as they go through that slow rise of, youth basketball, and suddenly, they're playing a lot of guard forward, but then all of a sudden, it doesn't happen to everybody, but happens to enough where all of a sudden one summer they shoot up 3-4 inches and now all of a sudden they go from 6'2 to 6'7, 6'8, whatever it might be. They've retained their guard skill, the court vision, the handle, and the ability to shoot, but now they're 6'8 and then they go to college or sometimes they're 6'10.
Yeah.
And this is just the evolution of the game. I don't know that there are necessarily in the last 20 years, although maybe a fraction, like taller people in the world. I think that's certainly from the late 1800s to, 1980, that would be a huge rise. Think about the old stadiums, Wrigley Field. The seats were built like this for a reason. I don't know that the human body has evolved that much in 20 years. I just think that players play a different brand of ball when they're 9, 10, 11, and then when they shoot up, they still have that skill. They can pass.
Yeah, no, this is a unique year because it looks like, and this is a projection because we're not quite at the All-Star break. This is All-Star weekend coming up, but it looks like a big man for the first time in a long time is going to win the MVP. And I'm talking big man as in traditional center, not just a tall basketball
player. Not like Giannis.
Yeah, not like Giannis.
I got you.
Even though he's more of a center than than KD is. Mm-hmm. And so it begs the question, is this going to be a trend? Are we going to start seeing game turn back to, at least in a little bit, inside out, like it used to be, like Shaq, like Shaquille O'Neal wants it to be back in my day, which we'll get to at some point. Candace Parker,
Shaq.
Undressing him.
Shaq, you got to start watching some games, Shaq. You got to start doing some homework, boy.
Oh, man. I think it was for show, but we'll talk about it in a minute.
We will.
But I don't think the game will ever go back to that. I think
I agree.
It takes a unique, uniquely skilled athlete, and we just happen to have two of them in the game right now. And so it's giving some people nostalgia because what Embiid's doing and what the Joker's doing, that, man, maybe the big man is going to become, you know, very relevant and important again. I think this is more of an anomaly than a trend, because you got to have exquisite skill to do what these guys are doing. And not everybody develops that when you're, 6'3", when you're 13 years old. And then ultimately you grow up to 7'1", by the time you're 20.
I'm with you, Teak. You know, there's an association with height and correlating it back to style.
Yeah.
Yeah, these guys are over 7 feet, but they're not doing, drop step moves in the post with their back to the basket when they implore the point guard. You know, if you're watching the show, the defender's behind
Got his hand up. Give me the ball.
No, we're not playing like that. I'll tell you what I would do. If I was a high school coach, certainly, well, high school's going to be a little more difficult to find this, but if I'm a big-time college coach, meaning I have access to all the players, right? Mm-hmm. And especially if I'm in the NBA where I have access to the entire world, you got to find shooters. But the one thing that I would be looking for is that 7'1", 5", who, I would love for him to shoot as well, like Joker. But if you can pass, right, and you can pass from 20-something feet away from the rim with guys cutting, but more directly guys on and seeing over defenders – I mean, that is something that is going to get you easy buckets.
Yeah, you're right.
A big that could just toss it around over people, boom.
And that's what we saw last night against
the Bucks. We see it every night with Joker.
Yeah, it's true. We do see it every night. And it's why a year ago, maybe more, you said he's the best, maybe when it goes down in history, the greatest passing big man in the history of the game. Because he is right now.
That's
he
right.
He really is.
Yeah, the other name, I remember bringing that up, and the name that I compared him to was Arvydas Sabonis. Mm. Who came over, I guess he was about 28 or so when he came over from USSR at that point with Portland. So some of his prime years had elapsed, but he hung around for a while. And those Portland teams were really good.
Yep.
He was thick and burly and couldn't quite – he had a lot of operations. So he quite didn't have the dexterity of some of these other bigs. But passing, I'm talking behind the back stuff, like no look, like Magic Johnson stuff or Vita's condition. All right, coming up. We'll get the update from Erica Herskowitz, by the way, who is gracing us with her presence, which is always good.
Nice.
And it is nice. We'll get the inbounds, out of bounds after that. And we got a busy show. We'll do some NFL John McClain Hour 2, what the Texans need to do with Deshaun Watson. He is the writer, the lead writer for the Chronicle out there in Houston. But first, we got Hersky's update, which is right now. Here's Erica. A lot of NFL coming up hour number 2 right now. We're getting ready to go to inbounds, out of bounds. First up, though, it is time to ask the pros. Here on Tiki and Tierney, and give you a chance to ask us anything you want, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. So if there's something on your mind, if you think you could stump us, whatever, just throw us a tweet at CBS Sports Radio and use the hashtag Ask the Pros. Make sure you stick around, listen later on. Tiki and I will answer the best one. And we'll do so a couple of minutes before we finish up the show, right around 5:50-ish Eastern or so. So get those in at CBS Sports Radio. And we'll answer it on air. We'll debate if we have to. We'll give you some props, too. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs. Guarantee low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So I told you next hour, John McClain from the Chronicle is going to join us. He just when he writes something, the teams in Houston, they notice. And over the weekend, he implored what we've been doing, implored the Texans to pick up the phone. You know, you got to trade Deshaun. You got to engage. He's gone. It's over.
At least listen.
Do your job, a little due diligence is a good thing. And we'll get his opinions on the matter coming up next hour. But right now, it's inbounds, out of bounds. Teak, you ready to roll? See what we got?
Yep, let's do it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
By the way, T, real quick, as an aside here. So I sent you guys, I know you know about this, but I have a specific question for you. So this year we're doing a... our first travel team,
mm-hmm.
All right, even though
travel
we're still in
baseball.
It's travel baseball, even though we're still in kindergarten. We're going to mess around, 8-9 games, nothing too serious. But
yeah.
I mean, we'll try to win, but it's about having fun, you know, getting out there, meeting some kids and
learning
getting
the
competition.
Game.
Yep, learning the game. So just gotta, I'm going to coach, but I'm going to manage one. I'm going to manage the T-ball team. I'm going to help coach this other team. So I got an email for the manager about an hour or so ago. We've got to give him, got to order the uniforms, which are sweet, by the way, dope unis. Hats are sweet, uniforms are tight, but we got to give them three number choices, right? So how should I feel about the fact that, and I was messing around before the show, I said, all right, buddy, you got to give me three uniform numbers. He gave me my number third. Do we push that?
No.
I know
no.
we don't. I'm just
no.
messing.
You gotta, you gotta let him establish his own identity. In fact, none of my kids, or my two boys, who played baseball and football, neither one of them have ever had my number. I think Chasen did when he was like little.
Oh, my God. My son's little. He's six.
Yeah, but
there you go.
It was for like a year. And then he wanted his own identity.
I gotcha. All right, here we go, brother. The Dolphins made a big splash in free agency a couple of years back. Byron Jones, Shaq Lawson, Kyle Van Noy. And, you know, they became a better team for sure. Mm-hmm. However, just one season into Van Noy's four-year, $51 million deal, the Dolphins have decided to cut him. He's a linebacker, in case you didn't know. Clear about $10 million in cap space, despite a pretty good season. Six sacks, and he also had the 26th best linebacker rating from PFF. There's a lot of linebackers, well over 100, so that's a good number. In or out, well over 100. It is a mistake for the Dolphins to cut Van Noy.
I'm going to say out of bounds, BT, and I like Kyle Van Noy a lot, and this has nothing to do with his ability to play the game, and he'll land somewhere because he still has value, and he's going to help somebody, and they're likely to get, and he's likely to be on a contender. Like, a contender previously wouldn't have been able to pay him because of salary cap issues. However, because of the pandemic, BT, and the loss of revenue, and the cap, which is sitting at $180 million, currently, it's probably going to go up a little bit more, but maybe not too much.
Yep.
Teams have to do this. They have to make these really, really hard decisions about for real time and for the future. And so this is all this was. I mean, they call these cap casualties. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a cliche word that they use, but this is an actual cap casualty because of the lowering of the salary cap from last year, $198 million to $180 million this year. Some of these good, really good players are going to be on the street.
Yeah, but I think he's going to be one of the better players that's on the street.
Oh, I don't disagree.
Which is why it's a little tricky. Like, Tyrell Williams, formerly of the Chargers, was with the Raiders, hurt a lot with the Raiders. Raiders cut him. I just saw before he's doing like a one-year, $6 million deal with the Lions, which, interesting, does that mean that they won't tag Galladay? I don't know.
I mean, listen to Dan Campbell yesterday. I don't know, man. It sounds like they're building for the future, not for right now.
And that's the way it sounded. Incredible interview, by the way. Coach Campbell was with us here on the show. Just go to radio.com, Apple iTunes podcast, youtube.com/Tiki and Tierney. It was pretty wild. He's a fired up dude. But I'm going to say out of bounds, because I'm going to trust most of their decisions recently have been good ones.
Yes.
So I'm going to trust their instincts with their team. Flores has done a really good job. But I feel as if...
Yeah, it bothers you a little bit. I know what you mean.
I get it, but
it bothers me.
He's a performer. And this bothers me about the NFL. This is independent of how I feel about the Dolphins doing this. Like, this is just reflects poorly on the NFL to have to cut somebody who was one of the 26 best in his position where you grade over 150 linebackers. That makes no sense for an ascending team, a sage, voice. That's dumb. That's unfair. I'll trust them, so I'll say out of bounds, but I'll add a little dot, dot, dot. He's going to wind up, maybe your Giants, maybe the Packers, maybe the Cardinals. He's going to go some, maybe the Cowboys. He's going to go somewhere good.
Yep.
He's going to play well for a team that's in the mix, so we'll see where he winds up.
Are you in or are you out?
I love this question. Right up my alley. All right, so tonight the Nets are in Houston. James Harden will play in front of his former Houston fans. Not a ton of them, based on the pandemic for the first time. But still, there'll be some.
Or so. Yeah.
A couple thousand. Yep, T. Rockets owner Tillman Fertitta says the team will, quote, of course, retire Harden's jersey one day. And Harden said he hopes the fans give him a positive reaction.
I hope I receive love and the appreciation that I've given to that city and I still give to that city, hoping that the favor can be returned.
Okay, got nothing but love for you. So we'll see about that. Despite the way Harden forced his way out, Rocket fans should give him a positive welcome back.
Right now, out of bounds. There's no chance. He's getting a positive reaction back. This is going to be heavily negative by the people that are there. I think that raw that wound is still raw, and they're still emotional about it, especially because the Houston Rockets stink right now. Like, are terrible.
Yeah, they're miserable.
Right now. I forgot who they played. I was watching Jay Will this morning, and he was talking about how I forget who they played. The King, I forget who it was. Anyways, the opponent's bench outscored the Rockets. The Rockets bench scored 84 points. The opponent's bench scored 85, which is horrendous. Nice. So I think that adds to it.
That's next level bench.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't even see that. I mean, I know they're bad. That illuminates it in a very different light. You know what, Tink? I'm with you. Out of bounds, man. When you force your way off of my team, you are quite literally saying, I don't want you anymore.
Yep.
So for this night, I don't want you. Now, when the night comes and you're retired from the game and, you know, there's 20,000 people, I believe it's still the Toyota Center.
Yeah.
And there's 20,000 people in the Toyota Center and they raise his number to the rafters. That's a time where I stand up and I show you the love and the adulation for all the great nights and the great memories you gave us as an individual elite performer. Tonight is not the night. The wound is still raw. The scab is still there. The Band-Aid's still visible in the garbage can. You know, you were unprofessional. You were you were overweight. You were just disengaged. Guys on the team called you out. You didn't give the new coach a chance.
Yeah.
The younger Silas. So tonight I'm booing. Down the road, it's a different story. Yeah. I'm with you.
By the way, 12 straight. It was to the Grizzlies, BT. They lost 133-84.
That's not bad.
The Grizzlies bench scored 85 points.
Wow. That is crazy.
And the Grizzlies aren't great.
You know, they're not. No, they're bench. Exactly. I like their starters. Their bench a little thin. Wow.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, so after the Nets hired Jason Kidd back in 2013, just days after he stepped away from playing the game, the team hired Steve Nash this year without any previous coaching experience as well. Now Bleacher Report published a piece in which multiple execs say that Suns guard and Players Association president Chris Paul is a player they could see making a leap to head coach one day. In a row, you do believe CP3 could go right from playing to be the head coach with no experience.
Absolutely. Yes, inbound, BT. Not only is he a general on the court, he is a lifter of some young teams that he's been on, and most recently the Oklahoma City Thunder last year. They were surprisingly competitive. And as the head of the Players Association, the player head, he knows all of these guys, which I think is invaluable when you're trying to construct a roster or find out, the bits and pieces that you need to correct on a team. He has familiarity with a lot of these guys and has conversations with them. So I'm going to say inbounds.
It's one of the easiest ones I've ever had.
Yeah.
By far, inbounds. It's not even close. I mean, his feel for the game is incredible. And, it's not only that he understands the business dynamic, he's somebody who's repped the players and, has been in the middle of at times, emotional discussions, and he sees the big, big picture, but he's an elevator. Everywhere he goes, I mean, Oklahoma City, they were supposed to be horrendous a year ago. Look what he's done for the Phoenix Suns in 30 games. He's brought them to a place we thought they should have been 2 years ago.
That's right. They're in third place right
now. Exactly. They're a top four seed. So everywhere he's gone, he's elevated. Why would he not elevate from a different spot on the bench versus being on the court? Absolutely inbounds. There's no doubt about that.
Are you in or are you out?
Okay, Greg McDermott. He's the Creighton head coach. Been there a long time. His son, Dougie, played there, obviously, in the NBA. He's in some hot water after telling his players, quote, I need everybody to stay on the plantation. I can't have anybody leave the plantation, end quote. Now, despite McDermott issuing an immediate apology, I was actually reading the story last night, a public apology, the school released a scathing statement calling his words deplorable and adding that an apology isn't enough. Players were upset. Assistant coach Terrence Rencher, released a statement saying after much conversation, players have decided they want to continue to chase their goals with Coach McDermott. All right, in or out, the school should suspend the coach before the tournament, whether it's the Big East or the NCAA. Creighton's obviously going dancing, so whichever one you want, to set an example. In or out?
I'm going to say out of bounds to this, BT, because I think that's somewhat unfair to those kids on this squad. This is such a nuanced situation down there because they know that he is a good coach. He knows he has their best interest at heart, and he misspoke, and it's damaging to some of these kids' psyches. And the only way this works going forward for Greg McDermott at Creighton is if he continues to apologize and get to the root of why he felt it was okay to go this route, compare playing a basketball game, college basketball game, to slavery. The only reason that it's going to work, and his assistant coach said this as well, you mentioned, BT, they know that they've put in a ton of work this year, and they don't want to undercut their chances in the NCAA tournament. So they're going to galvanize around one another and even their coach. But the only reason McDermott is having, I guess, a reprieve internally is because of the grace of those kids, right? Mm-hmm. Those kids are doing him a big favor by pushing forward. When this offseason hits, there's going to be some healing that needs to take place in Creighton's basketball program for sure.
Mm-hmm. My answer is out of bounds, like you. I know McDermott took the step of calling parents of the players. Mm-hmm. Like, he was really out in front of this.
Yep.
Not that it's exactly the same, but think about Marshall's situation. That was more about, I guess it was less race-driven and more just about combustibility.
That's right?
That's
right, yes.
And, you know, Greg Marshall was, you know,
the physical abuse, for those who don't know what it was.
Yep. He's obviously gone. And the guy that got elevated just got a 5-year deal. But that was more like, nah, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm good. Like, he was, like, ignoring it and deflecting, whereas McDermott has been incredibly proactive. Now, you can be proactive and still maybe not get a reprieve. But I'm happy that he does get a reprieve because I think when you connect on such a deep level, he's been there a long time, and those young men trust him. If they didn't trust him, and they didn't trust his heart, forget about his basketball, his heart, they would not have given him that reprieve. The reason he got that reprieve is because they know a good man said something incredibly dumb with a horrendous analogy, and they're giving him a second chance, and I respect that. Good for them. And good for him that he knows that now it can't just be, that's it. You know, corner of the room, I said a couple of things I shouldn't say.
Yeah.
It's time to move on. He's got to pursue this with vigor and continue diligence and prove that really was an anomaly. And I believe that he'll do that. All right, hour two coming up. Back to the NFL. We'll get that. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.